We've been talking about family over the last month or so, and more importantly, our leadership in family. We've been talking about our responsibilities. We've talked about it's important that we have spiritual leadership, that we lead our family spiritually. And I'm not just talking about natural family. I'm talking about the people that you influence. God has given us people. He has entrusted us with people that we can influence, and we need to influence them for God. So we talked about spiritual leadership. We talked about leading in a nurturing way. We talked about empowering leadership, meaning the Holy Spirit empowers us to lead, and that's how we ought to lead. We talked about the importance of obedience under God as we lead, that the people that we influence would see that we're obedient to God. We talked about last week worship leadership, and maybe you thought, well, we just finished the worship, we've just done that. No, worship is everything in your life bringing glory to God. Today is part six, and it's called blessing leadership. It's the leadership trait of living a life speaking blessings as we lead our family and those that we influence. You know, when I say the word blessings, maybe our first thought goes to, we want all the blessings that God has for us, and we do want them. And maybe our second thought might be, well, it's the prayer at mealtime, and that is called a blessing. But that's not the areas we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the leadership trait of blessing. It goes beyond those two thinkings. The leadership trait of blessing is a deliberate action of speaking blessings. As we talk about this important trait, I'm going to talk some about what not to do and then some about what we should do as Jesus followers. The very first curse word I ever heard on TV was the D word. I was watching a black and white movie. I remember it so distinctly. We didn't use that kind of language, so it really jumped out to me that was on TV. And it's one Saturday afternoon. I was probably 11 years old. My mom walked into the room the moment that lady said it. And here's how we channeled surf when I was young. Click, click, click. There was only three channels. And you couldn't do it away from anything. You had to be right up on it. So I was real close. As soon as she walked in the room, I shut the TV off. Now, I got to admit, I've often wondered how that movie ended, but I don't even know the name of it. But it stunned me. You see, the woman, when she exclaimed it, even though it was a bad word, the context in which she used it was even worse. When she exclaimed it to the man who had just done her wrong, her speaking that word was the opposite of blessing. It was not only a curse word, it was a curse. I'm not saying he didn't deserve it, but she spoke a curse over him. And of course, now the D word is kind of benign and almost unnoticeable because we've grown accustomed to hearing worse words. So what's a curse? Curse is an expression of a wish that misfortune, evil, and doom befall upon a person or a group. Our words are powerful. The acts of a person who blesses is the very definition of blessing. I don't think this verse is too far into you. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Amplified says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their word. Now, I know I've been guilty of speaking death too many times. I'm not proud of it, but it's the truth. I've said things to my wife and my kids that weren't life-giving. I said things to others that were not life-giving, especially drivers. I'm telling you, Susan and I were out driving a little bit yesterday. I think every good driver was on vacation and not on the street. They were worse than normal. In fact, this one car could not make their mind up which lane they wanted. They wanted mine, they wanted the next one. They wanted mine, they wanted the next one. And the moment he did something really crazy, both Susan and I both exclaimed all together, "You idiot!" And then she asked me what I was preaching on today. And I told her, well, blessings or curses. And she says, oh, doggone you. Why do I have to live what you're preaching? But I'm telling you, it is so easy to do, to speak those words on people. The truth is that we all have a habit of saying the easy thing. What God says about this subject, Paul tells us something pretty pointed in Romans 12:14, bless those that persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Surely God didn't mean that, right? Surely he didn't mean that. But the truth is that unless we're in the habit of speaking blessings to those that we love, it's going to be a stretch that we think we could do that to people that we don't love, those who persecute us. Why not sharpen your speaking blessings, your skills of speaking blessings on the people in your life? Why wouldn't you want to practice on them so that you're better at it? There's an old adage dating back from the mid-1500s, and it certainly applies here, practice makes perfect. The more we do something, the better we get at it. Research tells us that if we do something for 30 straight days, it will become a habit. I have honed the craft of speaking ill to other drivers because it's a habit. I just don't have any grace for that. And I should. And I'm convicted even as I speak these words. I'm convicted. If we purposely concentrate on speaking blessings to others for 30 days, it'll likely become a habit. There's some obstacles that keep us from wanting to bless others. Maybe you've never thought about that. But some of them are pride and selfishness and contention and jealousy and anger and wickedness and unforgiveness. And all of these are snares from the enemy in attempt to trip you up and to keep you from doing things God's way. The devil wants you to fail. It's just that simple. And just a reminder, in Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, there are six things the Lord's hate. No, seven things he detests. Haughty eyes. You can find some of these things I've already talked about. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness that pours out lies, and a person who sows discord in a family. I want you to think about how you've responded to others over the last week or so. Have you spoken blessings or curses? What about to your children? What about to your spouse? What about to your siblings? What about to others in your life? Now here's a hard reality check in Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And whether you think, well, what are you talking about? Heart, we're talking about words. Well, I'm telling you, they start here. My impatience for idiot drivers does not originate in my mouth. It originates in my heart. Proverbs 10:11. The words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. The words of the wicked conceal violent intentions. We have the ability to lead well, to lead like God does. We have the ability to respond like God does to us. We have the ability to respond to others like he responds to us. Matthew 12:34, you brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever's in your heart determines what you say. And that is the most convicting verse ever, because things fall out of my mouth sometimes. Very rarely does my wife sin, but every once in a while, she might say something. Yesterday, in unison with me, you idiot! But we're convicted immediately. And we immediately say, Jesus, we bless them in your name. And the more you say that, the more you'll start to mean it. Luke 6:45, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what's in your heart. The fact of the matter is, we should never be surprised at what we say, because we know it's already here. It's already in us. There are a lot of videos on Facebook and Instagram that show real life situations, and a vast majority of them are people speaking curses to others. And I've noticed this. Those videos get a lot of action, a lot of likes, a lot of sharing, because we find some humor in them. And probably a lot of them are based on humor, but words produce. Is this the kind of behavior that you want to pass on to those in your home? Is this the kind of behavior you want to pass on to those that you influence? Is this what Jesus would do? Here's a statement. What are you famous for? Some of these video people, they're just famous for the craziness that they talk. They actually can make a living that way. It's unheard of, but it happens. But what are you famous for? Are you famous for having a short fuse? Are you famous for speaking your mind? Or are you famous for speaking blessings? I didn't make a slide for this one. I meant to, and I forgot to. James 1:19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Now, James chapter 3, starting in verse 7, reminds us, people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It's restless and evil, full of deadly poison. When we speak curses, we are speaking deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. You must understand this. Wherever your words land, it is going to land on someone made in the image of God. I know they may, in your opinion, be a poor representation of the image of God, but that doesn't change how they're made. They are made in the image of God. No matter how they act, no matter what they say, no matter what they do to you, remember, we're supposed to love those and bless those that persecute us. It continues, and so the blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Here's what I know. If you speak blessings instead of curses, your behavior will be affected and transformed. Do you think for one second that the Good Samaritan would have reached out and helped and cared for the man injured on the side of the road if he had a habit of cursing others? Do you think that Simeon would have offered to carry the cross for Jesus on his way to the crucifixion if he had had the habit of cursing others? Do you think that Peter and John would have reached out to heal the beggar at the temple if they had a habit of cursing others? Do you think that Naomi would have encouraged Ruth to go home to her people, wanting the best for her, if she had the habit of cursing others? I know that I've said things to people in jest many times without thinking that they were curses, and how I've regretted saying those things. Because of what Jesus has done for us, we are to be life-giving in our words and our actions to others rather than tearing them down. Ephesians 4:29 reminds us, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Have you ever thought about who hears your words? Maybe you're one that just says them in the car. I'll ask you again, have you ever thought about who hears your words? Nothing is hidden from God. He knows what we're going to say before we say it. He knows what's in our heart. And that's why it's so important that we pray the prayer to purify our hearts so we can see Him, so we can see His glory. 1 Thessalonians 5, the first part of verse 11. So encourage each other and build each other up. Do you think that is just for the people that you like? No. It's for everybody we come in contact with. Why? Because we are carrying on the message of Jesus. And if we do something that's contrary to what Jesus would do, think about how we're representing Him. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 1, do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. If you think that you're the only one spewing out this stuff, it's going to come back. And there are people that are doing it. They are saying these things about you. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eyes? Because we can always pick out the speck in our friend's eyes. Well, so-and-so, they got this big problem. But have you a log of your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log of your own eye? Hypocrite. First, get rid of the log in your own eye, and then you'll see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eyes. You must understand that we spend far too much energy trying to fix people around us, and at the same time are telling people all their problems and all their faults, when our position should be one of encouraging, speaking blessings into their heart and their lives. Speaking blessings. You say, well, they don't deserve that. Well, listen, do you deserve 99% of what God does for you? I'm not even sure we deserve 1%, but I was going to give you that. Do we deserve what God has done for us? No, we don't. But while we were still yet sinners, the Bible tells us Christ died for us. In our worst possible situation in life, Jesus gave the ultimate display of love. The truth is that we're quick to recognize when others do us wrong, but we're not so quick to recognize when we do others wrong. Let me ask you this. What kind of witness is that? Remember, God has given us influence with people. Will we squander that influence, or will we use it for God? You've heard of the thing of using your giftings for good, but let's take one O out of there. Will you do it for the sake of God? Will you use your talents and what influence that you have for God? I think that's the biggest thing a Christian could do, is respond like Jesus was responding. What kind of witness is it if we would tear people down in front of them or behind them? What kind of witness is that? No, we're to speak blessings and not curses. Blessings and not curses. In fact, this should be our prayer. Psalms 19:14, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. How many times do we even give notice that we want our words to be pleasing to God? How many times have we just flippantly responded, oh, I just like to speak my mind. Oh, they get what I am. Well, that's not why you're here. You're in the body of Christ because you have accepted His forgiveness that washed you clean, and your goal, your motivation at that moment begins to continue what Jesus did. Do you think for one second Jesus would curse you? He wouldn't. Doesn't matter what you're doing or what you have done, He would not curse you. In fact, He came that you might have life and have it to an abundance. He came that you'd have the best life ever. Now, I know that we figured out that that means we'll never have a problem, and that's not right. We're going to have trouble. We're going to go through things that we don't want to go through. We're going to go through things that hurt. This family who lost the dad over the weekend, they're going through a pile of hurt right now. 63 years old, to me, a young man, 63 years old, went out just to tool around on his motorcycle, and apparently a car turned in front of him, and he hit it, and it killed him. That's pain. How can we help someone like that? By speaking blessings into their life. Will your words replace the dad that died? No, it won't. But it'll show them a picture of who God is, that God cares about everything that they're going through. And some of you today are in a hard place and you're wondering how to get out. And you find that maybe you're even bringing some of that on yourself because you've been pouring out these curses. Not necessarily curse words, but words of damnation, words of spite, words of jealousy, words of contention, all those things that we have the ability to do. In fact, sometimes we're so proud of our ability to hold our own in an argument when that's the farthest thing from what Jesus wants us to do. Jesus wants us to bless those. He even wants you to bless the ones that are after you, the ones that want to destroy you, the ones that want no good to happen to you. But the truth is, the people that we love, we're not so faithful in speaking only blessings to them. This concept of speaking blessings rather than curses will absolutely transform your life. It won't just transform your vocabulary, but it begins to work in your heart. And all of a sudden, you're wanting these blessings to flow out of your heart. You don't have to even try to form them in your mouth. Sometimes you say, well, I got to figure out something I can say good to them. It isn't that hard. We make it hard. But the more we do it, the more we receive what God has for us and let it plant into our heart, the more it begins to come out. And it is an untapped well of life, a wellspring of life. God wants His church not to curse, not to place curses, but to speak blessings at every juncture. There is something God can give you to say no matter what situation you're in. When you take your eyes off of what you think they did wrong or what they're doing and how that's offended you and how they've drifted in and out of your lane in life, that doesn't matter anymore. What matters is that is a person that is made in the image of God. And listen, when you truly get this, nobody can throw you off. If you really get this, if you can ask God to show you what He sees in this one that maybe I want to spew on a little bit, if you ask Him, He'll show you. And you'll start to see the creation that He made, the creation that He gave His life for, the creation that He died and rose again for. And He didn't wait on us to get clean. He didn't wait. He's not going to wait on your neighbor to get clean. He is faithful to pursue us. And we, as Christians, sometimes thwart the process. We get in the way of what people think about God. If we say we're a Christian and then we do these things that God says don't do, and we are spitefully speaking and speaking curses, they're going to get a mixed signal. And it could very well move them off the path that God has them on. And it could cause them to not find Jesus. Jesus is pursuing them. Jesus is faithful. And Jesus will make up for the mistakes that we've made for a life. But we are the church. And we have a responsibility to represent Jesus to the world. That's a big responsibility. It really is. And it's not an easy one. And if you think about your own strength, it will be overwhelming. But we are not limited to our own strength. We have the power of the Holy Spirit available. We have Jesus His power, His strength. And listen, it's when we're weak that He can show His strength through us. Because when we're weak, He's strong. He's strong when we think we're strong. But there's a yielding that Christians need to be able to allow into their lives so that they are sowing the good seeds. That it wouldn't be those seeds of destruction and damnation. No, it would be seeds of life that we would plant. And it's not our job what happens after we plant them. But we need to plant. We need to be busy planting. And many times, it's a word that'll do that. But you must understand where the word's coming from, whatever's in your heart. If you fill your heart with stuff that's not God, don't be surprised when your speech represents not God. Think about that. In this world, you have so many options of what can feed you. And if it's not God, it's not feeding you healthy. You may say, well, the world says it's good. Well, the world's dying and going to hell. So what the Word of God says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. May the words of our mouths today just do a dramatic change if you found that you just spew on people. Or maybe you find that you just let it pile up and then you go home and you spew on whoever is at home. Let's practice speaking blessings and not curses on those close to us. Susan and I try very hard to never speak curses to our family. We're not perfect in it, but we make it right real quick. Oh God, forgive us. Forgive me for that thought. Forgive me for thinking that, and forgive me for verbalizing it. And oh God, would you clean me up? And our prayer begins to just be this evaluation of the shape of our heart. If we could have said this thing that's so horrible, what must be in our heart that's not dealt with? And our desire is to have a pure heart. Not that we're perfect. We are far from perfect. But our desire is for those things not to take root in our heart. So that our nature would be what God would say. Our nature would not be what a selfish, prideful person would say. No, our nature would be what the mouth of God would say. What the heart of God would say. And as you begin to walk in that, you'll find your heart begins to soften. And the things that you knew at one point were hard in your heart, they become soft and supple. And you don't even realize that someone has gone against you. You hardly even notice, as the word tells us in love, true love is you hardly even notice when others do you wrong. Listen, I'm not there yet. I still kind of notice. But I want to get there. I don't want to hold things in my heart. I don't want to allow those things to grow and fester. And believe me, when you hold things into your heart, they will affect other areas of your heart. And what started out very, very small as a little hard place, it becomes a little bit more territory. And you can find, you can even look at how you're responding and you can see, well, yeah, I let that thing stay in my heart and it fermented and it grew and it affected other areas, and here I am saying things I never would say ever. So something's got to happen. Something's got to happen in my heart. Something may need to happen in your heart. I'm not pointing at anyone. I'm just telling you what we struggle with. I'm just telling, and I don't think we're odd. I think that we all struggle with this because we want what we want when we want it. And if someone gets in the way, then human nature is going to speak something into that that wouldn't be from the heart of God. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O God. Let that be your prayer. Let's pray.